Well, last week I gave the story about the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus met her at the well. If you weren't here last week, you missed I think it was an awesome tale, an awesome story about that woman. But this week I thought I'd give you the Paul Harvey rest of the story. See, because the story doesn't end with just Jesus coming at the well and talking to her. If we look in the verses of John chapter 4, I think it starts at the verse 20. What is it? Verse 24? Let me look here. Verse 27 says, at that point, and I'm reading from an easy to understand or easy to read version of the Bible for you on this one. It says, at that point, the disciples came back and they were surprised to see him talking to a woman. But not one of them said to him, what is your purpose? Or why are you talking to her? Then the woman put down her water pot and went into town. And said to the people, come and see a man who has been talking to me of everything I ever did. Is it possible that this is the Christ? And so they went out of the town and came to him. And while this was taking place, the disciples were saying to Jesus, Master, take some food. But he said to them, I have food of which you have no knowledge. So the disciples said to one another, did anybody give him some food? And Jesus said, my food is to do the pleasure of him who sent me and to make his work complete. You would say 4 months from now is the time of the grain cutting. Take a look, for I say to you, look at the fields. They are even now white for cutting. He who has done the cutting now has his reward. He is getting together fruit for eternal life. So that he who did the planting and he who gets the grain may have joy together. In this, the saying is a true one. One does the planting and another one gets the grain. I sent you to get in grain, which you had no hand in planting. Other men did that work and you take the reward. Now a number of people of that town had faith in him because of the woman's witness. He had been talking to me of everything I ever did. So when the people came to him, they made request to him to be among them for a time. And he was there for 2 days. And a great number of them came to have faith in him because of what he himself said. And they said to the woman, now we have faith, but not because of your story. For we ourselves have given ear to his words and are certain that he is truly the Savior of the world. I kind of wanted to break this story down in a few segments here. Just kind of giving a recap, Jesus had stopped at the well of Jacob outside the city. He was there, he was come upon by a woman. And it wasn't just any woman, it was a Samaritan woman. And you really have to understand Jewish law, Jewish tradition. And women, I do not mean to offend you, but women meant nothing in the Jewish religion. In fact, it is said that it was better that the law be burned than to tell it to a woman. So for Jesus to sit there and be having a conversation with a woman, much less a woman from Samaria, who came all the way out of town to gather the water because she was of poor reputation. You know, when you don't have a good reputation with somebody, does anybody here thrive to be around that person? Or do you do all you can to avoid that person because you don't even want to hear anything that could be judgmental coming out of their mouth, much less get the judgmental look? Anybody get that judgmental look by anybody? It's like, yeah, I know about you. They don't have to say a word. Their sheer presence makes you feel uncomfortable. This woman, being of ill repute, did not feel comfortable around her own people, insomuch that she went out of her way and walked over a half mile out of town just to gather water. That means when she left, the water jugs were empty. When she went back, she had to carry water jugs for over a half a mile. That had to have been toilsome, very burdensome. So let's look at this first part of this story. The disciples have come back and they see Jesus talking to this woman from Samaria. Now they had come to one realization by this point. Whatever Jesus was doing didn't surprise them. They didn't come up to Jesus and start chastising him because he was talking to a woman. How, Jesus, don't you understand? Don't you understand what the Jewish men and the Jewish religion? I mean, Jewish rabbis were not even permitted to even glance upon their wives or talk to their wives in public. They're okay to do everything else with them in private, but don't you dare talk to them in public. That's amazing to me. But we'll go on. So they see Jesus with this woman, and this woman receives, I call it a come to Jesus time, a gut check. She was being a little sarcastic, if you remember, with Jesus. When he told her, he says, if you knew the water I have, you'd never thirst again. And all she could think about was, great, save me the walk. Where's this water that I don't ever have to thirst again? Show it to me. And all of a sudden, he showed her herself of who she was. You see, when we come before Jesus, when Jesus makes himself known unto us, it's kind of a gut check for us too, isn't it? I don't care if you're already walking in the Lord or if you're coming to the Lord for the very first time. The very first, when you come before the presence of the Lord, you all of a sudden get to see you for who you are. Anybody here ever heard themselves on a recording? Your voice on a recording? Did you not say, who's that? I thought I was the one saying that. That's not me. That's not what I sound like. Oh, yes, it is. When I decided that I was finally going to start losing weight, here's how it came about. I had a new suit made for myself. And I thought I was looking pretty good. I had somebody take a picture of me so I could send it to Julie and let her see it. And he sent me the picture, and I went, oh my gosh, who put that fat person in my suit? It's exactly what I was thinking. Who put that gray fat guy in my suit? When did St. Nicholas come down from the North Pole and hop in my suit? You're laughing, but that's what I was thinking to myself. And I was at that point, I came to realization. Buddy, you better start losing some weight. Because pretty soon they're going to have to charge you double for a suit. You're using up too much material. But I saw myself. And I didn't like it. You ever done that? Women, have you ever gone clothes shopping and say, ew, that might have looked good on her, but that doesn't look good on me. Last thing I want to do, I love my wife. There's certain articles of clothing that she goes to shop for. I just will not go with her because she gets mad at me. Why? She doesn't want to get mad at herself. So she gets mad at me. There's comedy in that a little bit, but it's the truth. We would rather deflect our problems, our faults, how we are, than to come to the realization of what we truly look like and how we truly act. And this woman came before Jesus, and all of a sudden he called her out. And she went, oh my goodness. As Shirley Temple would say, oh my goodness. And she heard the story. And she finally came to realization that he wasn't just a rabbi. He was more than just a prophet. Could he possibly be the one? The Christ? The Savior of the world? Because what did Scripture say that she did next? She saw the disciples coming upon her. That probably freaked her out. True? Here it is enough to be talking to one Jewish man, but all of a sudden here comes a group of other Jewish guys. Not from her hometown. And maybe she didn't want to think that she was tarnishing the reputation of Jesus, but Scripture says that she received a word. And she was excited about this word. She ran back to town. So much so that she left her pot to carry water right there. Which to me indicates two things. One, she was in a hurry to give a message, and if she's going to be, she can't be encumbered by this pot. Because I don't know about you, if you've ever been running, if you're carrying something, it slows you down. Because it doesn't give your arms the freedom to move like they need to move. And then, number two, if she left it there, I'm sure that might probably was her only water pot. So guess what she intended to do? Come back and get it. True? If you have farmers, you have tools, right? You ever leave your tools out in the field somewhere, even by accident? Once you realize what you've done with it, do you not go back and get it? You do. So she went back. She ran to town. Here's the beautiful part about this message. I want you to pay really close attention to it. Here was a woman that fled town to avoid everybody. Probably mostly the women. The guys wouldn't talk to her anyway. It was the women that judged her. But now, she had received a message. She had received hope. She had seen who she was for the first time, come to that realization, and she had been in the presence of Jesus, and she was changed. And she was so excited about it, she could care less of what anybody thought about her. So she ran back to town. And she talked to these people. She told them what she'd seen. There's a story right there. Sometimes if you tell a story with as much enthusiasm, people will listen. I'm sure she didn't come back and say, excuse me, I just ran into this guy. He's back there by that Jacob's well. He told me a couple of things. He might be Christ. I'm not sure. I don't picture her talking like that at all. I picture her saying, guess who I just saw? I just saw the most incredible guy back here. He told me everything about me. I didn't say a word. He told me who I'd been with. He told me things about myself that I've never told anybody else. He is definitely not a prophet. I think he could be the Christ, the living God, the Messiah. You got to go check him out. Now, if somebody came to you like that, are you going to be interested? Are you going to look and say, are you on drugs? Are you nuts? Well, they obviously knew that these other gentlemen came into town to get provisions, and they left one back there. And she was excited. I mean, she was probably dancing and running. She's out of breath. She goes, he's here! You got to go see him. This is better than whooping, isn't it? You got to go see him. And so they got excited. And they said, I don't know what she saw, but whatever it is, it's got to be pretty magnificent. Let's go see who that guy is. What if she's right? I'm not sure if they went out to validate it for the positive or just to make sure, just to be safe. But either way, they came. And in the meantime, you've got these disciples. I love how Jesus spoke in so many ways that we didn't understand. And he finally had to break it down. No, I'm going to break it down again. No, I'm going to break it down even more. Going to break it down to where it's so simple, even you can figure it out. See, because Jesus really loved to speak in parables, didn't he? You see, because when you understand, when you discover for yourself the meaning of a story, you fully grasp it. But sometimes Jesus realized, okay, you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you yet, so I got to break this down for you all the way. And sometimes I keep thinking to myself, he got to be thinking, maybe like a teacher does, man, this is like the basic of basics. You're not grasping this yet. And so he started breaking down. This first things the disciples said were to him, Master, you got to eat. You got to eat something. It's been a long journey. You obviously were so tired, you sat here at the well. You didn't come into town with us. We brought you back some food. And he says, it's okay. I have already had food. Are you kidding me? You mean we walked all the way into town to come back and somebody has already given you food? He says, no. You don't understand. There's food that I have that you don't even know about. What you talking about, Willis? True? They're saying, has the sun got to him? Has he not had any water? Does he know what's coming out of his mouth? What do you mean you've already had food and this food is something that we don't even know about? Oh, my food. Let me tell you about my food. My food is to do the will of the Father. Well, how can that be food? That's work. Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever been so excited and so committed for doing something that sometimes you even forget to eat? Anybody? When you are on a mission, when you are on purpose, food is the last thing from your mind. I have a friend that he has to remind himself every day to eat. He is obviously thinner than I am. He goes, oh, that's right. It's 8 o'clock. I haven't eaten yet. Wow. I'm getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning going, I got to eat. But there's a strong story right there. Jesus was so focused on being obedient unto God that in that obedience and doing everything that God instructed him to do, he found three things, in my opinion. He found peace, he found happiness, and he found strength and power. Amen? This is yes. This is no. This means I've fallen asleep and I don't hear a word you're saying. When you get on a mission, you gain a strength that you've never had before. When I read that part, all I could think about was Isaiah 40:31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isn't that what God gives us? When we stay obedient unto Him, we get strength. Are there not times, I'm sure, when Sister Linda comes in to teach Sunday school, when she wakes up first thing on Sunday morning after working 6 days at her job, out in the fields, tired as all get out, comes in, starts to teach, and in that teaching gets a renewing of her strength. I tell you, that works for me for preaching. You would be amazed how exhausted I am after I preach. But when I am here, the strength I gain is incredible. Sometimes I get words coming out of my mouth that I had no idea I was even going to utter because I know that they are directed by God. So there's what you find the disciples doing. They're not understanding that. And then Jesus goes on to say, listen, it's harvest time, right? Yeah. Well, we know it's not the dead of winter because it was hot and Jesus was exhausted. So it was a time of the season where whatever plant it was going to probably be grain. Probably wheat, because wheat's more of a summer grain, summer harvest, right? True? Am I correct or incorrect? Come on, farmers, help me out. Thank you. And he says, you're going to reap some things you didn't even sow. Some things that you did not even labor in, you are going to reap the reward for it. Now, we think about a regular field out here, and we think about harvest or reaping and harvesting. And, you know, most of us out here, or whatever you do out here, you plant it, a few months later, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go back, and you're going to harvest what you planted. You're not going to go onto somebody else's property and take what they have harvested, what they have sown, correct? That's stealing. But Jesus says, you're going to reap what other people have sown. And again, now he's talking metaphorically. And for those of you that don't understand what that is, ask one of these teachers. There are times in our Christian life where we're going to have witness. We're going to sow seeds. We're going to be praying for people. And you might not ever see the harvest of that seed that you are sowing. It might come long after you have passed away. But by golly, you sowed the seed. There are fruits and grains that the disciples were going to harvest because Jesus was sowing the seed. There are fruits and grains that we harvest today that those that came before us sowed. And we cannot get discouraged just because we don't see the fruit of our planting. It's going to come. It has to come. If God has you sow, God will have it harvested. Period. God doesn't waste his seeds. That was the story. Then Jesus looked out at the crowd because all of a sudden he looks up. There's a crowd of people coming. And he said, basically, look out in the field right now. It is white for harvest. White for harvest. Now, isn't it funny? I was reading up on this. The people in that area, guess what color robes they wore? White. And don't you know that as he's talking to his disciples, he's looking out there, and he didn't see natural grain. He saw a multitude of people coming towards him in their white robes. He says, look at the field. It is white for harvest. We but need to look at the field today to look out and see it is harvest time. There are people that need to be harvested because upon the testimony of a harlot, the testimony of a lady that nobody wanted to have anything to do with, a whole country recognized that Jesus Christ is the Savior. The power of one testimony. We've heard examples after examples of how a vote, you know, oh, what does one vote matter? But then sometimes people say, well, it was but one vote that made this go this way, or it made this go that way. What would have happened to that area of Samaria had Jesus kept according to Jewish tradition and Jewish law and shunned that woman? They would have stayed lost. That woman would have perished in her sin. But that's not what happens. It's not what happened to me. It's not what happened to you. You have no idea at this very moment how many thousands of people will come to know Jesus Christ because of you. We look around and we say, are you kidding me? There's not 30 people in church here, Brother Decker. And you're telling me that there could be thousands of people come to the Lord because of me? Yes, because of you. Because of your influence, because of your testimony, because of your walk with the Lord, because of your obedience unto God, because of your going into the Scripture every day, because when you pass away, your influence lives on. My greatest example for my Christian walk was my grandparents. Two generations. You might think, well, it shouldn't have been your dad. It should have been, but it wasn't. It was my grandparents. They were my rock. When everything else around me crumbled into my human nature, they were my solidifying factor. And now that I've come to know the Lord, Jesus Christ is my rock. I can go to Him at any time, at every time, not being judged like He's sat down with the woman at the well. And when I come out of there, I'm refreshed with that word that cured and quenched my thirst. Because why do we come before God? Why do we come before Christ? Is it just to say, good morning, how you doing? What you up to today? What's your plans? We don't say that to God. We come before God, we come before Christ because we're in need. Are we not? Very seldom do we just say, Lord, I just wanted to tell you, it's good to be with you today. We come before Him because one of our children maybe is suffering, or because a friend is in the hospital, or because we have a certain problem going on in our life and we need an answer to. We need guidance to. Lord, I've got this going on at work. I need understanding. I need to know how to handle it. Lord, I've been feeling this way in my heart about this certain person. How can I overcome that? We take these things before the Lord. And the Lord doesn't sit here and go, oh my goodness, Alan, again? How many times are we going to go over this? Every week it's this and this and this. That's what we do as humans. Oh, I'm so tired of hearing this. My goodness. When are you ever going to grow up? Isn't that what we want to say to our kids sometimes? Are you ever going to grow up? My wife's over there laughing because we got a kid. We're wondering, is he ever going to grow up? And Jesus, just think about this. Just sat down quietly. Ah. He's at the well. Man, I'm thirsty. Woman, can you give me something to drink? She probably looked around for another woman. She says, what? In her heart, she's going, why in the world are you talking to me? And Jesus just looked at her, and I know in his heart he's singing to himself, because you're one of my Father's creations. You are precious to him. You have meaning to him. You have purpose to him. You are loved by him. I am not here to judge you. I have been set here so that I can help set you free. I've been come here so that I can help you see you for who you are. Your sin is no more despicable unto my Father than that of pride, than that of deceitfulness. I come that you can have life. That's why I'm here. Go share it with somebody. Share it with but one person. And I'll harvest a whole field. You realize that? Christ sowed one seed. He harvested a town. with one seed. Your witness, your testimony can save towns, can save states, can save nations, can save a world. The power of your testimony is incredible. Satan has no power over your testimony. He is completely defenseless against it. We find it in the book of Revelation that we are made overcomers to the things of this nation, to the things of this world, to the things of Satan, by the testimony, by our witness of Jesus Christ. He is so powerful. And it starts with one. Are you going to be the one? Or are you going to be stingy and selfish and hold on to the gift that God gave you? I'm not saying you have to go out and share it with a multitude. Share it with one. See what can happen.